Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Well, good morning, faithful listeners. I hope you all have had a fantastic week so far. Today we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel because, as you guys know, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I do an episode out of the Old Testament. So let's get into this. I'll be reading out of the WEB as usual. Make sure to grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea to enjoy along with me. Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, please take care of yourself in the morning and live in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will talk with my father about you, and if I see anything, I will tell you." Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Don't let the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. For he put his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and Yahweh worked a great victory for all of Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause?" Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, "As Yahweh lives, he shall not be put to death." Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. Then Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. There was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and killed them with a great slaughter, and they fled before him. An evil spirit from Yahweh was on Saul, and he sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing with his hand. Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he stuck the spear into the wall. David fled and escaped that night. I think that there are a lot of Christians in the world like Saul. And the reason I say that is because a lot of Christians allow their emotions to guide them instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them. Saul was always listening to his emotions, listening to how he felt, instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. We can see that time and time again with who Saul was as a person. I don't know how many times I've mentioned on this podcast so far that Saul was a very insecure human being. He was so insecure, and he allowed those feelings of insecurity to cloud his judgment. And he often sided with his insecurities instead of siding with God. Like God, in spite of the fact that Saul was an insecure person, God made Saul the first king of Israel, a powerful king who protected the Israelite people from the Philistines so many times. God elevated Saul to this great position, and yet Saul was constantly listening to these feelings of insecurity that he always had, listening to them above God. And unfortunately, there are so many people in the world like that, but it's especially egregious when Christians are like that. Because Christianity is listening to God. It's not listening to ourselves or our emotions or our feelings. It is listening to God to guide us. And as you can see, Saul's feelings were constantly guiding him down the wrong path, this path that constantly led to destruction. It's kind of funny how often that term path to destruction is coming up in the podcast this week. But Saul's emotions were always leading him down the wrong path. And God was trying to constantly guide Saul onto the right path. But Saul refused to listen. And eventually Saul basically turns crazy. He is so worried about his position as king. He is so worried about his insecurities. He can't allow anybody to do better than him. He becomes a nutcase, basically. And he's getting to the point where he believes David is his enemy. So here's what it says in verse 1. Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Saul has gotten so bad and so hate-filled toward David that he's no longer trying to kill David secretly anymore. Like, Saul is as open as you can get about killing David at this point. He is telling his sons to kill David. He is telling his servants to kill David. He is like, I hate David. We are going to kill him. And if I can't kill him, you all will kill him for me. That is how open Saul is with his murderous intent toward David. So he tells Jonathan, his son, to kill David. Now, Jonathan was best friends with David. Jonathan really liked David. They made a promise to each other, actually, that Jonathan would help David succeed. So they made this covenant with each other, this promise with each other to remain lifelong best friends, basically. And Jonathan had given David some kingly clothes because Jonathan was technically the next person in line for the throne. But Jonathan, I think, realized that David was, in fact, the one who was going to take over the throne. And as you can see from Jonathan's attitude, he did not care. Like, he was happy to help David ascend to the throne. And even Saul picks up on that with Jonathan, as we're going to find out later on. So Jonathan knew that God was on David's side and that God was helping David become the next king of Israel. So, of course, Jonathan is not happy when Saul comes to him and is like, you need to kill David for me. Jonathan tries to figure out how to save David. So here's what it says in verse 2. Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, please take care of yourself in the morning and live in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. I will talk to my father about you. And if I see anything, I will tell you. So basically what's going on here, Jonathan warns David to leave. He's like, look, David, my father is going to kill you. He has just told everybody he is going to kill you. He's trying to get his servants to kill you. He's trying to get me to kill you. And I am not going to do that. I'm not going to allow that to happen. So go out and hide yourself in the field. And I'm going to bring my dad out to that field where you can see us. You might not be able to hear us talking, but you're going to be able to see us talking. And while you're in the field and I'm in the field talking to my dad, I will let you know what happens in that conversation, if you should run or if you can come back home. So it says that that's exactly what happens. David goes and hides himself out in this field. And so Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul, his father, and says to Saul, don't let the king sin against his servant. So it's really good that Jonathan called out King Saul for what he was doing. He says, look, Saul, look, dad, you are sinning. Do not sin against David. Do not allow your emotions to take over. And then he presents Saul with like cold, hard facts. Here's what he says. He has not sinned against you. His works have been very good towards Israel and towards you. He risked his life for you in verse 5. He struck Goliath, the Philistine, and Yahweh worked a great victory for all of Israel. And then he says to Saul, you saw it and rejoiced. So he's like, look at all this good David has done for you and for Israel. He did all of these things and you saw him do these things and you were super happy about it because you knew that God was on his side. Good things happened to Israel and back then you recognized it, but why can't you recognize it now? Why are you trying to kill David after he's done all these good things? Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? And that is the last piece of logic he presents to Saul. He says, David has done nothing wrong. He is innocent, so do not sin by killing him. And it turns out that Saul actually listens because there is power in truth. There is a lot of power in truth. When somebody presents truth to you when you are spiraling, is that not one of the most calming things that can happen in that moment? That is why I like my husband so much, actually. He is so direct and so blunt and so truthful. And it's really a gift that he has because when I am feeling overly stressed about something, Garrett will sit down and talk to me and he'll be like, okay, why are you stressed? What's the big deal? And then I'll tell him why I'm stressed. And he's just like, that's it. And then he'll give me like six different facts as to why I should not be stressed over the thing that I'm stressed about. It's very calming, actually. It's a very, very nice thing. And that is exactly what Jonathan did to Saul. Saul was spiraling out of control. Saul was stressed for no reason. And Saul listens to this truth. His heart was open to it. It says Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as Yahweh lives, he shall not be put to death. So Saul allowed himself to soak in that truth that Jonathan was speaking. And he says, yes, you know what? As Yahweh lives, you are right, Jonathan. I am not going to kill David. And so he retracts what he had just said to his servants and to his sons. He no longer wants to kill David. So Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told David everything that had just happened with Saul, and Jonathan brings David home. It says that Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. So what that means is that David had once played the harp for Saul on a regular basis. Saul had actually really liked David back in those days. And David would play hymns and play the harp music for when Saul was going through his demonic oppression. And then Saul would listen to the music and be soothed by it, and the demon would leave Saul alone, and Saul would be back in his right mind, and everything would be hunky-dory. Until Saul had a problem with David, started getting very jealous of him and his successes, and then Saul no longer could accept that music and those hymns that David was playing on the harp. But it says now that David was in Saul's presence as before. So Saul no longer wants to kill David, and it seems like everything is back to normal. But then it says that there was war again. And so David, of course, being the warrior that he was, the courageous, valiant warrior, goes out and kills the Philistines, because the Philistines were constantly attacking the Israelites. They were notoriously cruel to the Israelites. David goes out and has another great success in this battle. It says that there was a great slaughter and the Philistines fled before David. And suddenly, right after this war happens, we don't know how long this took, but right after this war happens, Saul starts getting attacked by that demonic oppression again. It says that an evil spirit from Yahweh was on Saul, and Saul sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing with his hand. So suddenly Saul is no longer in a good place. This demonic presence comes back to attack and oppress Saul in his house. Now, why is it, do you think, that suddenly Saul wasn't doing so well? And not just because of the demon. He wasn't doing well anymore because David had another victory. David had another extreme victory that Saul did not get the credit for. So now Saul, once again, is spiraling out of control and is very angry that David is doing well. And Satan always knows just the right time to attack you. He is extremely good at figuring out human nature, and Satan always knows the best time to attack. He attacks during times of jealousy, and he attacks during times of anger. We know that from Scripture, because Scripture specifically says, do not be angry, because anger gives a foothold to the devil. It literally gives Satan something to attach onto. When he sees you getting angry, when he sees you getting frustrated with somebody or with yourself, that is when Satan latches on and begins his attack on you. So that is why Scripture warns us against anger. Even though anger in and of itself is not a sin, unfortunately, it leads to sin because, like I said, it gives that foothold to Satan, something for Satan to latch onto and to persecute you with, basically. So Satan now sees Saul starting to get jealous of David again. And Satan uses this perfect opportunity to come down and to attack Saul. Now, this is why I don't believe in any way that Saul was possessed, because it's very clear that this demon who was attacking Saul was not inside of him. And I talked a little bit about that at the very beginning when I mentioned why Saul was being oppressed and what this spirit from Yahweh is. If you want to hear about that, I'm not going to rehash it today, but I'll link it in the description of this episode if I can remember to do that. I'll link it in the description so you can navigate back and listen to what I had to say about this evil spirit tormenting Saul. But anyway, the point is, Satan always knows when to come down and to attack you. But as Christians, because yes, I do believe that Christians are continually oppressed by evil spirits. I believe that Satan goes around looking for people to attack. That includes Christians. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. But all of us, every single person listening to this, has the choice to not listen to the attacks of Satan. To not listen to Satan telling you that you are inferior, Satan picking at your insecurities, Satan attacking you, trying to make you more and more angry. We have the choice to not listen in those moments. And the best way to not listen in those moments is to listen to truth. Listen to scripture, read your Bible, pray. Recite scriptures that you have memorized. Listen to hymns or to worship music. That is the best way to not listen to Satan, is to listen to something else. And unfortunately, Saul, he had the perfect opportunity to listen to something else, because David was playing the harp and playing hymns for Saul and probably singing hymns for Saul. But instead of Saul choosing to listen to the truth, to listen to the truth of those hymns, Saul listened to the lies of that demon oppressing him. And so Saul, having a spear in his hand, which I don't know why anybody would ever give or allow somebody to have a weapon in their hand when they are spiraling like Saul was, Saul has a spear in his hand. And he throws it at David. So in a split second, Saul's emotions took over. He allowed his emotions to take over. And everything he had said to Jonathan before this about how he was not going to kill David and how he vowed to Yahweh, I will not kill David. It's all gone in a split second because Saul listened to his emotions. That is why we don't listen to emotions. Emotions are rarely the truth. And Satan is very, very good at making our emotions look like the truth. That is why, if you look at spiritual attacks in scripture, you often see that they are emotions based. In fact, I'd like to read a few verses that prove my point. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Then there's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. All of those things are not talking about physical attacks. They're not talking about attacks on health. They are talking about mental and emotional attacks that Satan uses against us. For example, why does 1 Peter 5 verse 8, one of the verses I read you, tell you to be sober-minded? You know, self-control, that is one of the gifts of the Spirit. God gives self-control. If we do not have a sober mind and self-control, Satan uses that against us. So every single verse that I read to you proves the point that Satan often, probably the most often, uses mental and emotional attacks and manipulations against you. So faithful listener, you have to be careful. You have to be very, very careful to not be like Saul, just changing with the wind and changing with every single emotion that you might feel. Instead, listen to truth. Don't let your emotions guide you. Let the truth of God's word guide you. This is the last time that David is ever home. For about 15 years, he lives as a fugitive and travels around living in caves and fields and wherever else for a very, very long time until Saul ends up dying, not to give too much of the story away. But we'll talk about this on Monday. Until then, I hope you have a really, really fantastic weekend. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. And also, if you would like to support this podcast, then check out Ko-fi, also listed in the description of this episode. Faithful listeners, I will see you all on Monday. Happy listening, and God bless.